Hey, thanks for stopping by to listen. My name is Ron Schultz. I'm the Executive Director of the Board of Ordained Ministry for the North Alabama Conference. Last week was crazy. We dared to venture out of our quarantine just far enough to see that numerous places in Alabama are still hot spots with rising cases of the COVID-19 virus. We ventured far enough out to see another black human being murdered. We ventured out far enough to see the world around us erupt with violence, anger, and flames. Meanwhile, in the church, we've continued to long for in-person worship so that we can greet each other and sing together some of our favorite hymns. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, or the great old standard, Amazing Grace. You know, you don't have to spend much time in the United Methodist Church before running into the word grace. We begin with the word to describe God's action in our lives. God works in our lives in a grace-filled way. We're saved by God's amazing grace. But rather quickly, too quickly, we commandeered the word grace and began to speak as if it is ours alone, and we use it to describe ourselves in favorable fashion. Others may be bad people. They may even be thugs, self-obsessed, and still living in sin. But in the church, we describe ourselves as saved by grace. We're grace-filled people. A little rough around the edges from time to time, but when push comes to shove, we're grace-filled, we say. We stretch and groan as we reach our hand around our back to pat and proclaim that we, that is, those of us in the church, act graciously toward others. We smile and speak softly while others stomp and scream, bless their hearts. Bad people may be doing bad things. The world may be consumed in flames, but we know all the words to Amazing Grace. Well, when I read Romans 12 again this week, I heard something that I need to hear, and something that I think the church needs to hear. And so I invite you to listen with me. Romans 12, verse 3. From the Common English Bible, it says, "Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you." From the New Revised Standard Version, it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." And from the Message, it reads this way, "I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him." Did you hear that? The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us, not by what we are and what we do for Him. In the church, we use the word grace to define ourselves, don't we? who we are, what we will become, how we are identified, what we're known for. That was Paul's familiar story. He could spout off his pedigree, his accomplishments, all the ways that he had lived his life right. He was a good Pharisee. He knew the law, and he took pride in accumulating commendations for keeping the letter of the law. He espoused accolades, demonstrating his goodness, highlighting the contributions he was bringing to the table, calculating all the ways that he had been impressive, all the ways that he had been successful for God. But for all that, for all the successes, all the accomplishments, all his pride, there was little room in Paul's life for God, for grace. Something was missing. And here in chapter 12, verse 3, I believe Paul tells us his understanding of what was missing. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. Grace is what God has done for us, not what we have done for him or what we have done for ourselves. It is what God has done for us. We've talked ourselves into believing that grace belongs to us. It describes us. It defines our understanding of ourselves. We decide how much to dole out to other people when we feel like they deserve it. We act as if we personally deserve large amounts of grace because, you know, we're fundamentally good and nice people. We're respectable people and much more grace-filled than others. You know, those others who don't look like us, those others who don't love like us, they don't speak like us, they don't behave like us, and they don't even vote like us. Life would be easy for us. We could love everybody if we could just be quarantined in a world filled with people who look like us, speak like us, believe like us, love like us, and vote like us, right? We might think such a world would be perfect, but that wouldn't be correct. That's not Paul's understanding. In a world like that, we really wouldn't need God or God's grace. Listen, church, as you traverse through this week, listen. Jesus reserved his harshest words in Scripture not for sinners whom he befriended, but for Pharisee types who were missing and devoid of grace in their lives. Have a peace-filled week, and may the grace of God find you and dwell within you. Amen.